Jesus' name, I proclaim an absolute blessing from the proclamations and the faith that has been proclaimed today that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is our healer. And Jesus Christ is our soon coming King. And we give you honor and glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord an applause. Amen. Amen. Well, you may be seated. High five someone while you're doing that. Tell them happy Valentine's Day. Amen. Amen. I look forward to the just time of celebration of my family, my wife, and all the above. And it's just an exciting day. Don't worry about my voice. I'm fine. I just had a lot going on this week. And a lot of teaching, a lot of just a lot of stuff. And it's all good. And I'm just going to keep going for the Lord and doing that. And when I go over and above and beyond, and my voice says, I'm getting tired, I'm going to say, shut up. All right? Because I'm going to keep going proclaiming the Word of God. Amen? Well, we've been talking about, by the way, we gave those hearts to you men too. Yeah, you deserve that. Okay, I know some of you men grabbed and thought, for me? Until you saw the chocolate, and then you were fine with that. But anyways, we're talking about the plan of God. And we are recognizing that the plan of God is about grace. It comes out of grace, which is the love of God. And what we're trying to recognize is that everything that God does and will do in our lives is based upon grace. It's a gift of God. God is the one that plans. God's the one that promotes. And even God is the one that sets down in the plans that he has for us. We have to start looking at situations in life differently. And we need to start looking at it through grace and his love. Because the tendency of Christianity today, in the culture of today, is that when something is happening that's not comfortable, we have a tendency to think, you know, it's the devil, we need to go after the devil. Well, I just want to tell you, the scripture tells me that because I serve the Lord, the devil has no power over me. And so I recognize that, but I also recognize that at times, God will bring me into areas where it causes me to be uncomfortable. What do I mean by that? That God just brings bad things in my... No, God does not bring bad things. All good things come from the Father above. And in that reality, we have to see that at times God will see us through challenges. In this world, you'll have tribulation. He'll see us through challenges, but on the other side, he wants us to recognize his hand is upon us in the challenge. And what we need to do is not, God, are you going to do it? God, are you really going to do it? No, we need to look at, God, what area of my life needs to be changed? What area in my life needs to be transformed? Or maybe just, I need to think about this differently. Or maybe the challenge is digging in the Word of God and really understanding the truth of what was going on because you really didn't know what that truth was. You love Jesus with all your heart, but you know what? It's like me. I'm still growing in the Lord. My soul is being transformed. It's being changed because of the Word of God in my life. And my spirit is brand new. My spirit cannot sin. It's my soul and the soul nature that needs to be changed. And the old adage is, if you want change, first change yourself. So need to think through things in a different way. And what I'm trying to show you in the plan of God, everything that he does is through grace. Out of his love, because he is love, and we receive it by faith. And that's changing our thinking, changing how we talk. You know, I'm not going to be a confession monitor as a pastor, and you shouldn't either. People express what they're feeling, but when we begin to allow the truth to transform us, then our words will change, our thinking will change. And so in the plan of God, He's got such a wonderful plan for you. And that plan, as we learned, began Ephesians chapter 1 before the foundation of the world. God had you in His mind before the foundation of this world. You know, if we just pause and think about that, that's such huge love. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to change that. So one of the most amazing things in God's plan is that we have become, being born again, the bride of Christ. Speaking of this week and the celebration of Valentine's, celebration of relationship. We become the bride of Christ when we get saved. Literally, watch this, Jesus becomes our husband. We then are empowered to overcome sin by the Holy Spirit because Jesus gave His all on the cross. He paid the debt. That thread is all the way through, and it's a gift. It's grace received by faith, the plan of God. And we have to keep going back to that. No matter how long you've known the Lord, keep going back to that truth. That God so loved you that He gave. We don't walk in righteousness because the law forces us to. So now that we get in the Word and we know all these wonderful things and it just forces us because that's the way we are now. We have changed our life. No, God changed your life. God changed your life. So the law doesn't force you, rather, through the power of the Holy Spirit. The giftedness, He said, Jesus says, it's very important that I go away, for when I do, I will give you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He will guide you in all truth, not some, not partial, not confused truth, but He'll guide you in all truth. But we have to receive that by faith. We need to receive that plan by faith. It's a gift. It's something given. You don't earn it. And again, you know, we grow in this, in the knowledge of God. So in this series, The Plan of God, again, the title is The Husband. When you accept Jesus Christ, you then become, again, the bride of Christ. And basically, that's the greatest marriage. That's the greatest relationship you'll ever understand or know. And that's what we do because we know that, and it's a gift of God. Then we see one another as gifts of God to us. We see our spouses, our family as gifts. We're all different. We have different abilities and gifts that God's given us. But all the same, when we become born again, we are the bride of Christ. There's a relationship that is whole, and we need to understand it. And then we begin to express that with one another. In Revelation 21:9, it's an elder said to John, he said, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. The explanation of the verse in 21:9 says, so the Lord uses the marriage analogy of our grace relationship. Ephesians 5, if you've been with me and my wife and some of the leaders in the church, we use that a lot when we do marriage conferences. And because what is that? It is literally a statement of because we know the relationship we have with God, then the relationship with a husband and wife is basically the same thing, that we love one another. And there's no such thing as a bad marriage. No such thing as a bad marriage, because God created it. The problem is that in marriage, either the husband and wife, they don't understand that grace relationship between their Lord. And because they don't understand that, then they are confused about a relationship with a human. Because we're not perfect. We are to mature, but we're not perfect. And so when the greatest thing that you can do is, as Terry said today, I believe it was Terry, might have been Pastor Dan, but the greatest thing you can do is to love Jesus and to know that relationship, whether you're single or married. Because when you're single, you still have many relationships. And how do you handle, how do you live out those relationships? So you're following the trail that I'm trying to take us on? Is we, every one of us need to really understand right now is that we need to dig deeper into the things maybe that we know, because there's more to it. So the Lord uses the marriage analogy. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So in order to talk about a grace relationship, we need to talk about the law of God, some. We don't throw the law away. The law is not bad. And you know why the law is not bad? Because God's the one that spoke the law. And everything that God speaks is good. So God gave the law, and all good things come from God, because this truth is so important. We're going to talk about law and grace the next couple of weeks. I'm going to wrap around Valentine's, this holiday, and we're going to talk about law and grace and understand this perfect love that God has for you and me. Understand the law is not bad, but know we are not under the law, Scripture tells us. The law is good, but we're not under the law. So this is where a lot of us as Christians get confused and about being under the law or under grace. And so you find in culturally, sometimes in churches, you see some churches that, you know, they're, you know, used to years ago when I was younger, the some churches used to measure the hem of a dress in order to be able to enter the sanctuary. You know, all these different things, because we take the law like Israel did and take a few laws and make hundreds of them out of it. Man's thoughts. So in Romans 6:14, it's very clear. Watch this. Romans 6:14 says this. "For sin shall not have dominion over you." Watch that. Dominion. "For you are not under the law, but under grace." So what does it mean again? You are not under the law, even though the law is good. The law came from God, and all good things come from God, but we're under grace. So understand, this is the deceptive, the confused thing that goes on. And I could spend hours on this subject, but I want to take you on your journey today and next week to really understand. And I believe it'll really break some stuff, breakthrough, that we've been talking about that's happening will happen in a greater way. Not because God finally decides to do something, but because we understand and we receive something from God. We're no longer waiting for God. "Oh, God, when are you?" We begin to receive it because we know what it is. You see that? It's very simplistic, again, because your pastor is simple. You know, I have to have it simple. Romans 7, Paul gives us an analogy again from the law, and he uses the marriage. So with all that I said, we're going to read the scripture. I will explain it again in a deeper way. But really, hold on to your hat, grab your pockets and pull up your britches, whatever you need to do. But just really grab a hold of what God is trying to say to us today. God's doing something amazing in our world. I believe, I'm just going to proclaim this to you, I believe the next generation is going to be one of the greatest generations that this country has ever known, that the world's ever known, because of what God is doing and how grace is going to be so sufficient and it's going to pour out. A few years ago, I was praying for my grandkids and one day great-grandkids. And now my prayer is different. I'm so excited for them that they're going to understand and have great revelation and see greater things that I ever saw in my life. And I believe this is the greatest time. And so, this morning, I think I had 12 kids come in my office around 9 o'clock to get jelly beans. Okay, some of you adults say, can I get in line too? No, you can't get in line. But when I saw them, I just said, this is what it is. Not the jelly beans, this generation, this younger generation. And so I want you to, as a church, begin to proclaim over identity, over our children's kids' ministry. And by the way, there's going to be an amazing thing around Easter weekend. We're going to have a Good Friday service and Easter service, and our kids are going to minister and with dance and song, and all kinds of things are going to take place. But I said all that to say because God's called them, and I'm excited. Get out of the depression of the future, and when you understand that we're under grace, get into the excitement of your future. Because God's got a great plan for all of us. Romans 7, verse 1 says, or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, in other words, the Hebrews, that the law has dominion over man as long as he lives. Then he gives this analogy of marriage. For the woman, now why would he do that? Just watch. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. So we're talking about law and grace, not under law, but we're under grace. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Watch what he says and understand this. Verse 4, therefore, because of what I just said, using the analogy of marriage, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another. You were married to the law before, now you're married to Jesus. He's your husband. To him, Jesus, who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit of God. You hear a lot of teachings about bearing fruit. You hear a lot of comments about being fruitful and all the different things. And one of the greatest aspects of that is a gift of God when we become born again is that we automatically, when we understand grace, we bear fruit instantly. Here's the point. Again, the law is not bad, but there is a person that is bad, and his name is Satan. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. So let me say it this way. or ask you a question. What does he accuse you with? How many of us are living our lives in guilt and shame? We touched on this 4 weeks ago, I believe. So let me tell you what he accuses you with. He accuses you with the law. I'm going to add to it, but because of the analogy that Paul brings, or he accuses you of your first marriage. So don't, if you've been married a second time and however that happened, don't go to just that, but understand he's using the marriage analogy, the remarriage, you know, one dies, okay? But stick with me. We're talking about law and grace, all right? And so that's what Paul's talking about. So Satan literally uses scripture, the law, to tempt you. He did that for Jesus. And Jesus responded with scripture because he knew the word. And he was not deceived. Satan will try to condemn you by taking something that is good and turn it into bad. Because the law is good. But this very thing is where Paul spent most of his life. I want you to hear this. Paul saw this. He saw the spiritual principle of this, and he spent most of his life dealing with the people who lived their life based on the law and not grace. They could not get the understanding of grace. And so trying to get them, the Hebrews personally, the people, to understand this truth. And so you will see when you read scripture, when we journal, we learn about journaling. I go through the Bible every year. Paul is saying you were married to the law, but you died to the law when you received, by faith, grace, your salvation. So now you are free to be married to someone else. Okay, I'm going to use a lot of terms here. And that someone else, so the law died, no longer has control over you, and you married someone else, and that someone else is Jesus. That someone else is the love of God. That someone else is grace, a gift of God, that God called you. He's got a plan for your life, and you don't work or earn it. You obey what he has said in the plan of God because you understand grace. God has gifted you an ability to succeed in every area of your life because you understand that God did it. God gave you the authority. God gave you the call. God gave you the gifts that you have. Are you seeing? Okay, because we're not there yet. We're not in the finality of what I'm going to give you. That'll be next week. So I want you to think about it. What kind of husband do you think the law is? Because he used the analogy of marriage, first and second. First is a law, the second, grace, Jesus Christ. So is the law a forgiving husband? Is the law a loving husband? Is the law caring, kind, compassionate, understanding? No. It's just straight out. Thou shalt. This is what the law does. The law points out what you do right and what you do wrong. So this is how the law points out what you do wrong. The law would say, you did this wrong, you did this wrong, you did this wrong. Well, you did that right, but you did this wrong, 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 you're wrong, you're wrong. So the law is like talking about a husband as an example, overbearing, fault-finding, critical, judgmental, a judgmental husband, till death do you part. We have died to the law. Till death do you part. You've been under the law until you receive, through grace, by faith, the gift of God, salvation. And so something had to die for you to have your second husband. By the way, the law is not going to die because it's God's word. God gave the law. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 5:18, heaven and earth will pass away before the law passes away. The word will stand forever. See, that's where we get all this confusion. So here's a big question. How can you be free to marry someone else if the law never dies? Because the law can't die, God comes up with a brilliant plan. God's plan. So the law is not going to die, but you can die. You don't die physically, but you die to self and you die to your own desires. And we're going to show you an example. What happens if we don't die to our own desires? What we do with our new relationship with Jesus and why we struggle in areas. So if you die to that, then you can be married to another, and his name is Jesus Christ. Grace, love, by faith, and it's a gift of God. That's all that Romans 6 is talking about. If you study the book of Romans, Romans 6 is talking about that we are buried with Christ in baptism, Romans 6:4, signifies death and burial and raised up in new birth into grace, into the second marriage, being born again. Galatians 2:20 says we have been crucified with Christ. So here's a short summation of that. If you will die to self, you can be married to another. And the difference is that we haven't learned to die to self. The difference is that all my life, there are times that I need to choose to die to myself. So Paul's explaining that you need to understand some things about your first husband. The first husband, the law, okay, you die to that and you become married, the bride of Jesus Christ. So my first point tells us the law cannot justify you. No matter what you do, what am I saying here? The law cannot make you right in the sight of God. You can do everything perfect in your life of today, but that doesn't make you right or righteous. Remember righteousness in the sight of God. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. What the law did was point out wrong, your sin, the knowledge of sin, that you would seek a Savior. That's what the law is all about. The law was given to preclude, or however word we want to say, to bring us to a place of knowing that I need a Savior. I was wrong. I was a sinner. But now, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not a saved sinner. I'm righteous now because of Christ, because I didn't earn it, I received it. I'm telling you, when we understand this, and we're going to go deeper, when we understand this, it's going to change everything. Even if our thinking is really good right now in some areas of our life, it'll change that to greater. Greater things will happen for you. The belief of your business, your job, if you're a boss at work, whatever it is, greater things, because you now understand you are married to Christ and He will guide you through the Holy Spirit. It's very important that I go sit on the right hand of the Father, make intercession for you, so the Holy Spirit can show you everything I want to do as your husband, to love you, to care for you, to do everything for you, and to bring you to a place where there's joy in your heart. That's where it is. Oh, y'all are being really quiet. But I know, because it's piercing darkness, not in you, darkness in the air. Because that deception is no longer going to be around you, because now you know the truth that will set you free. Can someone say amen? I think all my cheerleaders are watching the Super Bowl. Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans 3:28 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Doesn't that just make perfect sense? All right, let's go on. You can only be justified by the Lord Jesus Christ, not the law. Grace through faith. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, let me give you a background of the book of Galatians real quickly. I touched on this the last series, but I want to just say a few more things about Galatians. There were people going around preaching and are saying, we believe in the gospel that Paul preaches. Remember, this is just Paul's thing, man. He's just after it, that you're saved by faith. But in order to mature, in order to be sanctified, all those words, in order to grow and even keep your salvation, you also have to do the law or fulfill the law, which is totally a deception, false teaching. So Paul, in Galatians, is addressing this. That was 2,000 years ago, but let me tell you, we are still dealing with this deception in churches today. A third of the New Testament is Paul's writing, and over half of those writings are dealing with the subject. That's how important it is that we recognize this. Trying to get people to believe you're saved by grace through faith alone. It's a gift of God. That was a theme of Paul's life. So let's read Galatians 3. It says, oh, foolish Californians. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified when you became born again. This only I want to learn from you, or I have a question for you, he's basically saying. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, I could ask you, how did you receive the Spirit of God, by the law or faith? For faith, of course. That's how we received. We received the gift of salvation. Then he says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Perfect means complete. All right, and let me read it to you in the Message Bible. The Message Bible is written by a dad who wanted his children to understand Scripture. So in the Message Bible, you'll find areas that are not totally exactly what Scripture, the literal language, is saying. But you'll get the gist. This is not my study Bible, but you'll get the gist of what is being said. And I think here he does a fabulous job to teach his children. You crazy Galatians. Did someone put a spell on you? Have you taken leave of your senses? Something crazy has happened. For it's obvious that you no longer have the crucified Jesus in clear focus in your lives. His sacrifice on the cross was certainly set before you clearly enough. Let me put this question to you. How did your new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God? We could stop there. Or was it by responding to God's message to you? Are you going to continue this craziness? For only crazy people would think they could complete by their own efforts what was begun by God. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? Wow. Grace plus law for salvation is heretical. It's heresy. It means false doctrine. Here's a reason. You reduce Christianity to the same level of every religion in the world. See, you need to know that Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. He's your husband. But every religion in the world teaches works. You must do something to be in right relationship with God. No. You receive it. Buddhism, three things you must do to reach that relationship. Hinduism, two things you have to do. Islam, five things you have to do. Christianity, you don't have to do something, you just have to receive something. That's grace. So when you preach, you have to do something, you bring it down to the level of religion. I don't preach religion. I preach relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? So the law can never justify. Christ has justified us. We receive it by faith. Second point, law can't empower you either. I just got to get gooder, because if I get gooder, then God will do more for me. Right? And you know, I'm using that terminology to get a laugh, but I want to tell you, a lot of us think that way. We pray, we're not healed. God, what do I need to do? Believe. Get in the Word of God. Know His heart in a greater way. Change your thinking. Change the way you talk. So law cannot empower. In other words, law cannot give you the ability or make you do the right thing. So I'm going to say something that I'll cover next week, but I want you to hear this, because I'm going to shake your, if you have it, I pray you don't, none of us do, I'm going to shake your religious thinking. Is we have a tendency to think that if we grow more in the Lord, and we say those things, because the Bible says to grow because our soul is being sanctified, we grow in knowledge of Him, all the different things. But we think if we know more of Scripture, that automatically then we're going to get more of God. Let me just say this to you. Once you became born again, all of God is for you to receive. But a lot of times, because our thinking is wrong, which is changed by getting in the Word, our thinking is wrong, and we don't think God will give it to us until we do enough. Or until we get over our guilt from our past. It's called shame. Called shame. You're in the shower section right here, so sorry. I might give him an umbrella or whatever. It's anything. Romans 7:4. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Jesus is the fruit-producing vine. So the only way to bear fruit is to be married to Jesus, be connected to Jesus. How do you get connected with Jesus? Well, do this, do that, rake, plant, whatever, you do all that. And all of that is good because that is a law. It's good to do those things, good to do good things, good to grow, good to do all that. But how do you get this to the place where it enacts the plan of God in your life? You receive it by faith. Because it's a gift of God, it's grace. I'm almost in the studies I've done in the last year and a half, I've been really studying grace and the power of grace and everything. And I'm almost thinking like I'm saying, Paul, I'll take over. I'll preach this until Jesus comes. Because I'm seeing, these are one of the major aspects of, if you have this knowledge and faith in what is given to you through grace, by grace, through faith, man, transformation. You look at people that before you despised or you can't forgive, and you'll forgive. And you don't despise people anymore. That boss that is crude and rude no longer offends you because you know what you have in Christ. That's grace. Because when you know grace, what do? You give grace. And when you know who is grace, love, then you'll give love. Happy Valentine's Day. You'll know to love. Amen. In Jesus' name, I proclaim a blessing over this house that restores truth in every area of their lives. Blessings upon their homes, blessings upon everything they put their hands to because they do it in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians 2:21 says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So this says if the law produced righteousness, then Jesus didn't have to go to the cross. Wow. My testimony is not I read the scriptures and it said, thou shalt not covet. And bam, I stopped coveting. Because it said not to. See, the law before I was a believer didn't empower me to stop. You know what empowered me to stop coveting? Grace. Receiving what God gave me. The way I broke the stronghold of covetousness was I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And Jesus gave me or gives you the power to overcome. We were married to the law. That was your first husband. Now you're married to Christ. He's your husband. But here's the problem. Listen very closely. Ladies, I will ask you a question in a moment. Many Christians are trying to impress your second husband, who is Jesus, by keeping a good relationship with their first husband, the law. Try that in a natural. And see how that pans out for you. The second time, honey, can we have so-and-so over for dinner? I miss him. We have counseling and we have counselors in our church and they'll be ready for you. See, God's plan is this. You don't serve a list. You love a person. That's why he died on the cross, so we can have a relationship with him. So the law cannot justify and the law cannot empower you to do these things. You can know it, but it doesn't empower you. So here's my third point, and we'll continue next week. Love can justify, and love can empower. Love can justify, and love can empower. So question, am I just talking about love in a general sense? No. I'm talking about who love is. See, that's the reason why I love my wife the way I do is because I know love. Okay, I'll say it again. The reason why I can love you is because I know love. The Bible says God is love. Really, I'm saying love justifies, and God, who is love, empowers us. So I want you to understand this love. They asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And what does he say? Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So the law is good and it is produced in your life because you know love. You have your second husband. His name is Jesus Christ. People say if you preach on grace, people will go out and sin. They're wrong. Because most of the time if you preach law, people try it, they can't handle it, and they say, heck with it, and they go do it anyways. Because they're frustrated in life. Grace doesn't produce sin. Grace produces righteousness when you receive it. Again, people think you need to tell everyone, don't. Don't do this. Don't do that. No. In our natural minds, God is backwards. Watch this. God says, if you want to receive, then give. God says, if you want to have authority, then get under authority. So what could cause sin to be stronger? How can sin become stronger in you? 1 Corinthians 15, 56 says, the strength of sin is the law. Wow. So let's close with this example. Two husbands, law and Jesus. Now, all you know, I've been married to Terry for a few years. Which husband does she want me to be or be married to? I have a conversation with Terry and say this. Terry, I've been reading the law, and the law says not to commit adultery. Because the law says not to, I'm not going to. Now, I want to, and I think about it all the time. All right, let's pause. Don't take this little clip and put it online. It's an example, okay? Because all you went, Gossip, gossip, gossip. Do you want a husband that says, I won't commit adultery because it's wrong? Or what if I said to Terry, and I used this example a few years ago in a marriage conference. When your eyes open in the morning, told myself I wouldn't do this. When my eyes open up in the morning, the sun rises. When your eyes close at night, the stars shine. Terry, when you walk in the room, I can't see anyone but you. I have absolute no desire for any other woman because you're the most beautiful woman in the world. I love you with all my heart. You will never, ever have to worry about me being unfaithful because I'm really in love with you. Which husband do you want? The first or the second? The law or grace? Please know this, if you're born again, you have the second husband. You got saved, and you married Jesus. And that's the way he feels about you. You are Jesus' daily delight. Men, that's why I gave you a chocolate box too. That's from Jesus. That's what love is all about. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. He's amazing. He loves me with all of his heart. Everything. He has given me everything. Sure, I need to get in the Word, read the law. Sure, I need to walk with it, walk in the truth. But everything I am, everything I will do, in the plan of God, he's already given for me to walk in. Why? Because he's a loving, gracious who is love, and who is grace. Father, I thank you for the word that is so powerful. In Jesus' name. I come against the deception of the enemy. I come against confusion. And I proclaim over every home, whether we are married, whether we are single, I proclaim over every home the blessings of the Lord. Yea and amen to the gifts of God and the plan of God. Holy Spirit, in this next generation, for us that are older, God, give us greater insight, greater understanding how to love this generation, how to move in this realm. And to see everything you've planned for this world, for every individual, take place. And I give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're here, you're watching online, and you don't know Jesus Christ, you haven't received grace, Jesus. Today, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And last thing I'll say, since 1957, the year I was born, the Detroit Lion fans have always said, maybe next year. God bless you. Have a great, great day.